The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes. Welcome. It is Friday, January 27th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for being here, and welcome to Rolla J Studios, where we are happy to announce our latest sponsor, the Fingerboard Extension. I'll get that on the cam, see if we can get that logo up there. The Fingerboard Extension from Corvallis, Oregon, helping support us here at the Normal Network. If you'd like to get involved in helping support this podcast, just visit our Stash blog at stash.normal.org. You'll see the WePay widget on the side. Welcoming from not our virtual studio, but from our actual studio right here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, it's the one, the only, Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hi. I can't believe I'm really here.
You're really here.
This is the first time in 2012 I've made it to Rolla J Studios.
First
so
time.
It's pretty good.
First time all year. Of course, Cannabis Carrie brings us our hemp headlines after the first break. So what's in the news today?
Today, the very prestigious Princeton Review has put out the top 10 list of the most marijuana-friendly colleges in the U.S. We're going to talk about that. Also, a banking bill very needed in Colorado and needed in all the medical marijuana states. We're going to bring that up as well. And we're also going to talk about a new cultivation center that's opening in Arizona.
All right. Also joining us here in the studio, we've got Ganja John hanging out at the end. How you doing, John?
What's up, Russ? I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. We got all sorts of great developments happening with the Normal Network and the Ganja John Show and new studios. We'll talk about that in hour two in Toker Talk Radio, but stick around for that. John's got all sorts of cool stuff to tell us. Plus, I got a video of your one gram dab from yesterday.
Ugh.
We're ready to go with that.
So. I'm still feeling it.
Still feeling bad for that one. We'll take a look at that later. Also, all sorts of other folks in the house. We got Damon. We got Brian all hanging out here. I give you the long shot. You can see a full studio today to take us into the weekend. And on today's show, we've got a great show coming up for you. It's Rockin' Friday, so Herb Thrasher will be joining us at 20 after to give us the latest rock tune that he's got. This is one from a local group. The Johnson Creek Stranglers will be perform today. That's right. Johnson Creek Stranglers, some alt country music. At half past, we're going to speak with Danny Danko via Skype on video. He's going to give us a preview of the High Times Cannabis Cup coming up in Los Angeles here in a couple weeks that we will be there streaming live for you here at live.normal.org, including the VIP party where Wiz Khalifa will be in the house. Not Wiz Khalico, although he'll probably be in the house too, but Wiz Khalifa. So that'll be a lot of fun. And at the end of the show, I got a little time for a radical rant. I gotta tell you about what's going on in Kansas, where they're trying to pass a medical marijuana law. They had a hearing, and the reefer madness came out in force. We'll debunk that for all the Kansans in the audience. Stick around. It's Normal Show Live. We're right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. WeedMaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. WeedMaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit WeedMaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke. Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse Stealth-Products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, Stealth-Products.com has you covered. Stealth-Products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or a flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from Stealth-Products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-Products.com. Stealth-Products.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A new marijuana cultivation center is opening in North Phoenix, and it's the first of its kind. A large office building in North Phoenix is being painted and stocked for the dozens of registered caregivers who will help with the opening of the 5,000-square-foot medical marijuana cultivation center. Caregivers who have signed on with the cultivation center will have been hauling in plastic sheeting, black canvas tents, and high-pressure sodium lights and duct systems in preparation for the opening. The center will have a soft opening on Saturday with a goal of being up and ready to go for a February 18th grand opening. The center will allow caregivers to charge patients market price for marijuana, about $300 an ounce. Under state rules, caregivers can sell up to 5 patients. Caregivers cannot make a profit on the pot, and they cannot charge for their time. The growers will then donate extra monetary proceeds or the marijuana itself to charity. On-hand expertise from pot consultants drew some of the caregivers to the center, like Jeff Morarity, a licensed patient and caregiver. The 67-year-old said that he wants to learn how to grow marijuana the right way. The owners of the building don't expect law enforcement to hassle them since they are abiding by all of the state laws. Phoenix Police Sergeant Steve Martro said that law enforcement are cautioning people to closely follow the medical marijuana law to prevent run-ins with the police. Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery would not comment on the opening of the center, but a spokesperson said, citing potential future litigation regarding medical marijuana, said no comment. The state has been fighting over distribution and sales of marijuana for now. It seems to be settled with the state's court suit to stop the dispensary portion of the medical marijuana law that was passed in 2010, and with Governor Brewer now saying that she will allow the dispensary application process to move forward. Arizona is slated to open their first dispensary sometime this summer. There are currently about 18,000 patients and about 1,065 caregivers so far enrolled in the Arizona Medical Marijuana Program.
Well, the downside to this, of course, is for those people who live within 25 miles of this center, this dispensary, they won't be able to grow at home anymore. Arizona has that famous 25-mile halo rule that means if you live within 25 miles of these approved centers, you are no longer allowed to grow at home. You have to go to the center. You have to spend $300 an ounce. And that's, of course, the part of the Arizona law that I complained the most about when it was being proposed and when it ultimately passed. Still, it's better for patients to have a safe access to this medicine, someplace they can go, and someplace where the growers also can go, the caregivers can go, to be able to distribute their medicine. This $300 an ounce, of course, is because of the prohibition of marijuana for everyone, and that price desperately needs to come down. Patients can never get the medical access they need so long as those prices are so high. Some of those patients are on very fixed incomes, and they need that medicine to be brought down to a lower price. Again, any step we can make forward is usually a good step, but let's bring those prices down, and let's see what we can do to improve that Arizona law.
And time again, we've reported on the marijuana industry businesses being denied simple banking services that other merchants take for granted. In Colorado, the last bank that openly worked with medical marijuana businesses was the Colorado Springs Bank, and they closed their last remaining dispensary and clinic business accounts that they had last September. At the time, they said it was due to concerns about legal issues. John Whiten, Colorado Springs State Bank president, said that it was due to those concerns and from a threatening letter from the feds that they had to close all those business accounts. Colorado dispensaries, as well as dispensaries and medical marijuana businesses in other medical marijuana states, have been left with little banking option. In Colorado in particular, state law requires medical marijuana businesses to keep diligent track of every transaction, but record keeping is very difficult for the average business owner if they have no bank to work with. So, cut off from traditional banking options, a Democrat and a Republican have teamed up together to co-sponsor Senate Bill 75 in Colorado to help create a system that marijuana businesses can turn to for help. Democratic Senator Pat Stedman and Republican Representative Tom Massey would like to create financial cooperatives that would be regulated similarly to credit unions, but be insured by non-federal insurance policies. Robert Frichtel, the director for the Medical Marijuana Business Exchange, estimates that about half of Colorado's 700 registered dispensaries lost their accounts last September when the Colorado Springs banks changed their policies. Some kind of industry banking is needed so that business owners can run their businesses successfully and safely. Brian Vicente of Sensible Colorado says that Senate Bill 75 is a positive step forward for an industry that is crying out for sensible banking. The problem has been brewing for quite a while, with big-name national banks closing any marijuana-tied legal business back in 2007 when the DEA warned big banks that they could face potential legal liabilities if they did business with dispensaries. Dispensary owners would just be happy to put their money somewhere. There is a public safety issue in general if businesses have to exist with piles of cash lying around. Both representatives agree that there might be some danger of a federal intervention when their bill gets passed, but they remain hopeful that it will, and they say that this moves the issue forward to a solution that works for business owners.
You know, this is, you know, they complain about these medical marijuana dispensaries. Oh my God, they'll be magnets for crime. So what are we going to do about it? Let's make them be cash only. Let's make them not be able to do checking and basic credit processing. Let's make sure there's as much cash as possible at these places, in addition to the cannabis that people might want to rip off as well. Once again, the whole situation of this federal illegality versus states carving out exceptions to criminal liabilities still leaves the crime. And that still leaves all of these laws in banking, in business, in advertising, all of these laws that can be used against medical marijuana patients because, in essence, what they're doing is still criminal. I know there's a lot of people in these medical marijuana states, a lot of patients out there like, I got my card, I'm legal. No, you're not. You're not legal. You're exempt from criminal prosecution for a very limited use of cannabis in limited circumstances. But those criminal sanctions still exist. And so all the other laws that prevent, you know, rentals to people that are using cannabis, that can cost you your job because you're using cannabis, that can be used against you in a child custody hearing because you're using cannabis, all that stuff still applies. And it's just so frustrating because so many of these people, so many of these businessmen, so many of these patients, they want to be legal. They want to follow regulations. They want to come out of the closets, out of the black markets, and they want to contribute to society. They want to be a part of society and follow the rules like everyone else. And at every step along the way, we're stymied by this federal prohibition. We're stymied by these people who are afraid to work with anybody involved in the medical cannabis industry. I've seen it personally. I've seen it with the people I know who have businesses of their own, and it's just got to stop. Medical marijuana is never going to go far enough for precisely these reasons. Please get behind the legalization efforts in Colorado and the other states that are putting this on the ballot.
The Princeton Review, the company behind many well-known guides to colleges and the publisher of preparation books for college entrance exams, has released a list of the top 10 rated schools that are most marijuana-friendly. They say that these are the campuses where attitudes are the most relaxed when it comes to cannabis. Now the Princeton Review has written guides for America's top universities, including titles like Guide to Colleges for Students with Learning Disabilities and A Parent's Guide to College Life, along with their very popular Complete Book of Colleges. But here, in no particular order, is the top 10 most marijuana-friendly schools in the U.S., according to the Princeton Review. Again, not in any particular order, Russ. Okay. Colorado College, a private four-year co-educational liberal arts and science college in Colorado Springs. The University of California has two campuses that made the list, Santa Cruz and Santa Barbara.
Yay!
Yeah, we know that. University of Colorado at Boulder, of course, with their big smoke out. The Bard College. Now, the Bard College founded in 1860, a small four-year liberal arts college located in Annandale on Hudson, New York. Lewis and Clark College, a four-year private university here in Portland, Oregon,
Bradley.
Made the list.
Bradley!
He's probably solely responsible for that. Warren Wilson College is a private four-year college in Swanoa Valley, North Carolina, that's known for its curriculum of work, academics, and service. It requires every student to work an on-campus job, perform at least 100 hours of community service over 4 years to graduate.
Wow.
Eckerd College, a private four-year co-educational liberal arts college in St. Petersburg, Florida, and also another college in Florida, New College of Florida. They're a public liberal arts college located in Sarasota. And the University of Vermont, a public research university in Burlington.
Wow.
So now we know that these are the most marijuana-friendly schools. What the report didn't say was if that was for a good reputation or a bad one. But I guess like your college preference, it's all up to your perception of it.
Oh, let's get the studying. Let's get the studying. Our own Bradley Steinman there. From Lewis and Clark College. He's forming the Lewis and Clark SSDP chapter.
Yes.
You want to check out SSDP.org for the Students for Sensible Drug Policy. There's a lot of those chapters. Or send us an email here at stash@normal.org if you want to start a college chapter. We have college chapters of Normal out there as well. And, you know, this is a time-honored thing. People always say there's a time and a place for everything, and that place is college. So kudos to you scholars out there who are studying hard all the way through 420. All right. Thanks, Carrie, for those stories. I've got a couple of stories here that I found as I was getting ready for the show as well that I thought we should go over here on the news. First of all, I want to update a story I talked about in Hour 2 yesterday about a bust in Idaho near my hometown, in my home county, Canyon County, Idaho. This has just been reported by KTVB, the local NBC station there. Oregon troopers tip leads to Idaho bust of medical marijuana cardholder transporting 69 pounds of pot to Utah. From KTVB, a major pot bust on I-84 last night landed a 39-year-old Oregon man in jail accused of felony trafficking. He was actually pulled over twice. The first time he was let go in Oregon because the suspect carried a medical marijuana card. Idaho State Police accused Justin Brownrigg of Eugene, Oregon, of bringing three duffel bags full of marijuana into Idaho. He was reportedly headed to Utah. Brownrigg was first stopped by an Oregon State Trooper on Wednesday. During the stop, the trooper smelled marijuana and questioned Brownrigg. Quote, Brownrigg advised and told the officer, hey, I'm a medical marijuana patient and I have marijuana in the car and it's under the prescribed amount in Oregon, Canyon County Prosecutor Brian Taylor said. The Oregon State Trooper, under Oregon law, couldn't do anything, so he let him go. End quote. Look, how many times do I have to tell patients, don't flash your medical marijuana card to a cop like it's a get-out-of-jail-free card. If the cops question you at a traffic stop and he smells marijuana, the proper response is silence. You have that right. Use it. Force that cop to call in drug dogs and get a warrant. And if that happens and you're faced with arrest, then you ask for your attorney and he or she can make your medical case for you. Well, unless you're using the medical marijuana law to hide your criminal interstate trafficking of 69 pounds of marijuana, then maybe you might not want the drug dogs around, right? But here's where the story takes a turn for me. The Oregon trooper alerted Idaho State Police. So you're telling us a cop pulled over a citizen, found him to be obeying the law, had no reason to arrest or detain him, and then on a hunch called a cop in a neighboring state to warn him that this, as far as the Oregon cop knew, law-abiding citizen was coming through? So that's how it works today. Innocent until proven guilty. That's how it works, huh? All right. The KTVB story continues. Once Brownrigg was near Caldwell on I-84, an officer says they saw Brownrigg speeding and stopped the car. By the way, the speed limit on that stretch of I-84 is 75 miles per hour. Only break one law at a time. Don't speed if you got 69 pounds of weed. All right. So they searched his vehicle. They found 69 pounds. And the Canyon County prosecutor here says he's seeing more and more cases of marijuana trafficking from neighboring states where medical marijuana is legal. Now, here's the problem where we only go part way with a medical marijuana law is because the vast majority of people that are covered under that law are using it properly. They're not, they're staying under the limits. They're trying to remain legal. But as long as it's illegal for 90% of Oregon tokers and 100% of Idaho and Utah tokers, there will always be a massive profit in hauling pounds of pot from one state to the other. And no criminal with any smarts isn't going to try to take advantage of a way he can avoid prosecution. See, the problem is, just like prohibitionists see a heroin user who started on pot and figure out, well, there must be a gateway effect from pot, prohibitionists see a dealer who abuses the medical marijuana law and figures, well, see, all patients must be frauds. Look, if marijuana is legalized for all who want it and its distribution is taxed and regulated, you won't find very many people driving pounds of it across state lines, except the licensed and inspected distributors of those products. After all, when was the last time the Idaho State Police ever stopped an Oregonian with cases of moonshine in the trunk?
Hey, Russ, what do you think about an oil break?
Oh, jeez, it's awfully early for an oil break, John. What?
Well, I think I'm going to take one.
Are you twisting my arm?
Maybe.
Can we get that on cam?
We'll see what we can do. We're right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Okay, let's see. Talk as needed. Caution, objects may appear.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The Normal PAC, the political arm of Normal, makes contributions to members of Congress and select state legislators who support our policies and advance legislation towards that end. Elected officials need to see that those of us who support legalization are serious about changing policy, are about more than just getting high, and understand the importance of supporting politicians who support us. Please make a contribution today to the Normal PAC and send it to the Normal Office in Washington, D.C., 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Or go to the Normal website and make a generous contribution. It is an investment in our future and will help assure we finally re-legalize the responsible use of marijuana in this country. Thank you.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, folks, time to head into the weekend. And you know what? This technically is my birthday weekend. My birthday's on a Tuesday next week. So we'll call this my birthday weekend. We're bringing in Herb Thrasher on the phone. How you doing, Herb?
I'm all right, and I'll top you on that. And this is technically my birthday weekend, too.
Hell yeah! We're going to have ourselves a good time.
That's right. I'm a groundhog. So.
Oh, that's right. You're Groundhog Day.
That's right. So you're the third?
31st.
It's so funny. I mean, this is such a stoner conversation because Russ and I have partied our birthdays together for about 6 or 7 years now, and we still have this same conversation every year. Oh, yeah, it's our birthday. Your birthday. So, it's our birthday. So, you guys, send presents to Box 420 at Roller J Studios for Herb Thrasher and Radical Russ.
Right on, my man. Right on. The Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher's on tonight at 8 o'clock Pacific. We're on live. And by the way, Herb, I don't know if you got the email earlier today, but I've finally got set up the links for iTunes and XML podcast feeds for people who want to get Normal Rocks on iTunes. It's there now. The link's up at normal.org/AV.
Oh, that's outstanding. That's great news. Thanks for doing that. And, yeah, we'll definitely have to start promoting that a little bit. But, yeah, we got a great show tonight. Every Friday night at 8 o'clock, we have Normal Rocks, and Radical Russ and I just kind of play some tunes and rock out. We have some interviews every now and then and talk sports at 9 o'clock. And tonight, there's kind of been a fatality in the metal world, rock world, and I'm going to Riot, the guitarist for Riot. So I'm going to have a little tribute, play some songs for him. And we've got a new King song that we haven't played yet. We're going to see them next week.
Right.
And the Northwest String Summit Bluegrass Festival has been announced, and I'll talk about that and play a couple of bluegrass bands from that festival, and maybe one of Ganja John's fave dudes, Brian Posehn. I've got a song put back for him if we have time, so it'll be a good time.
Oh, yeah. We got some Brian Posehn music coming. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta love that, man.
Hey, Scott, if you end up in L.A., we might actually hang out with him, buddy.
Oh, man, right on. Brian Posehn! I love it, man. That's awesome, dude.
Hey, you know, you were mentioning the Northwest String Summit, and that's something else people ought to know about Normal Rocks, is that we got all edges of rock, even the country edge of rock, this alt-country movement, and today's Normal Rock, Rockin' Friday tune kind of fits into that genre, right?
Yeah, what a great lead-in, man. You know, really what we got going with the Normal show live, you know, the Monday through Friday, we have great diversity in our tunes, but, you know, for the country world, we don't have a place for them. And you know what? They're not really our place, but there are a lot of country stoners. But there is a, you know, branch of country music, hillbilly, outlaw kind of country that, you know, I love and a lot of rock and roll people love. And so, yeah. This is a great time. This is the first time, I think, that we've had music like this, at least that I've brought on the Normal Show Live, and I'm real excited about it, which brings us to Johnny Outlaw and the Johnson Creek Stranglers. Since his debut in the music industry, Johnny Outlaw has been one of the most dedicated men to hit the stage. His childhood dreams of telling his emotions and living his life through song and music is the driving force behind what the artist creates. Always regarded as a true blue among his country music peers, Johnny's uncompromising interpretation of music he loves and, in fact, what defines him. Traditional but never retro, bare bones, not bone-shaken, hardcore, but with a twang. Johnny's music fits any roadhouse, honky-tonk, or neighborhood bar around. From the big stage to coffee shops, Johnny's unmistakable voice will leave you dancing. The song I'm Leaving is a fucking butt-booty-jamming, bringing some country fist-clenching spirit to make the hillbilly outlaw country music rock. Call them outlaw spot. Johnny and the Johnson Creek Stranglers just want to play their tunes. So you guys rock and roll. When you think of I'm Leaving, just think I'm leaving to go smoke a joint with Ganja John or something cool like that. And you guys rock on. Have a great weekend. We'll see you tonight on Normal Rock.
This is Johnny Outlaw, Johnson Creek Stranglers with I'm Leaving.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Fishbone pulled up there. We pulled up today in the van, and I walked out of the building, walked through the big building over there. I walked outside, and I'm walking over by the lake, and I just see everybody casually smoking weed like it's all right. Like it's supposed to be like that.
Because it is all right.
Like you ain't got to worry about no police coming and asking you what you're smoking or what are you doing here, or let me see your driver's license. See, that's how they do it in Amsterdam. Everybody just out there chilling. Ain't nobody stressing. You go buy your weed at the shop. You go kick it, smoke your weed, walk the street, do whatever you want to, and you don't even get messed with.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long, and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
Tune in to the Normal Network every weekday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern for our primetime lineup. We begin with an hour of daily Toker Tunes, followed by Normal Show Live and Toker Talk Radio, live from Rolla J Studios in Portland, Oregon. Then, you get 2 hours of recorded podcasts from national and international reformers, followed by our late-night live shows at 11 p.m. Eastern. Then the whole six-hour block repeats twice overnight. It's the Normal Network, your source for the best in marijuana media. Mary, quite contrary. How does her garden grow? Don't ask me. I'm just the voiceover guy. Ask High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in our Normal Show Live's Cultivators Corner.
Earlier today, we spoke with Danny Danko via Skype from his offices there in New York. Give us a preview of the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. So we're going to go to that video right now. Danny Danko from High Times earlier today. All right, folks, welcome back. It is the fourth Friday of the month, and that means that we visit with Danny Danko for our Cultivator's Corner, but we're going to do something a little bit different this time. You know, we've changed our show time to 7 o'clock Eastern time, and that's subway time for Danny, so we're going to call him live today in the afternoon and talk to him via Skype so we get the added bonus of video. So welcome back to the show, Danny.
Thanks a lot, Russ. Thanks for having me.
So we won't be able to take live cultivation questions, but folks, if you want to get your cultivation questions answered, you should be listening to Free Weed with Danny Danko every Wednesday night here on the Normal Network. It's Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern. There's plenty of replays. You can get the downloads at hightimes.com/freeweed. You can send in your questions via Twitter. Aren't you using Free Weed as the hashtag, Danny?
Freeweed is the hashtag, and you can send it to @DannyDanko as well. And, I'm hoping at some point that freeweed hashtag is in the top trending topics of Twitter at some point.
That's right. Let's freeweed with the freeweed. That's how we're going to do it. All right. So, Danny, one of the things we can talk about today, of course, is coming up in a couple weeks is the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Los Angeles. I know you're all getting ready for it there in the New York offices to head out here to the West Coast. We're getting ready here at Rolla J Studios to come bring it to everyone live. Tell folks what they can expect and what they need to get ready for.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. We've got a ton of panels. We've got a two-day expo, patients panel. I've got some cultivation panels. My colleague Nico is doing a cultivation panel as well. Andrew D'Angelo and Rick Frommer from Harborside coming to a panel as buyers, and then Kyle Cushman and Swerve as growers. And we're going to talk about highest quality of cannabis from the buyer's perspective or the growers. So I think it's the first time that we've had the buyer and the grower together talking about how to produce the finest, highest quality medicinal cannabis.
Well, that'll be definitely a good education for everyone that's going to check out that panel. And, of course, at these cannabis cups, we have all the vendors and the exhibits. Any special ones that stand out to you this year?
Well, it's Southern California, so we're going to see a lot of the dispensaries from that area, a lot of them with the word Kush in the name.
Yeah.
And, we've got a great concert planned for Saturday night, which is Yoto, which is members from String Cheese Incident, and they do a dubstep thing, but we're calling it dabstep. And Seedless, the band Seedless, is performing, and DJ Jacques, who actually does the theme song for my Free Weed podcast.
That's right, Free Weed!
Yeah. So it should be fun, and I know you're a panelist as well on Sunday. And we were even thinking maybe we could do a Free Weed show live from the studio sometime that week. So
absolutely. We'll be there at a condo all week. So we're setting up to do our live Normal Show live shows. No reason we can't have High Times crew coming out and join us.
Yeah, that should be fun. And I just think it's the first time in Los Angeles. It's LA Center Studios. If people want more information, they can go to medcancup.com. But it's just going to be great. All the panelists are listed at that website. You can buy tickets there. I definitely recommend getting tickets in advance because, you know, the cash line tends to be pretty long in the morning. So, definitely get the tickets now. We've got great surprises planned. We've got Wiz Khalifa just confirmed that he's going to be accepting the Stoner of the Year Award live in person. So that's going to be great. And we're just hoping to empower the patients and people, cannabis people of Southern California.
And that's part of the VIP party, is that with Wiz Khalifa?
Yeah, that'll be the Saturday night. That's part of the VIP party. And then all day Saturday and Sunday, we've got booths where people can check out all the different amazing products and tons of glass, tons of all the things that you see at cannabis fairs. But outdoors in the, California sunshine, we hope. And we're really excited. It's a great venue, and we've got a cool stage being built and all kinds of cool stuff. They actually film Mad Men at this location.
Oh, okay. Interesting. This is great, these cannabis cups. Of course, they started in Amsterdam, the High Times Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam. And then, in 2010, we got to San Francisco. 2011, we expanded to Denver and Detroit. For 2012, where can folks look forward to future cannabis cups?
Well, we're looking into all kinds of areas, basically any place that will have us and where the laws are conducive to that sort of thing. We're looking at other places in Europe, parts of Spain and Copenhagen, Denmark, and we're looking at locations in the United States, Maine and Oregon and Washington, basically just trying to see where we can find a venue and a willing public and willing also law enforcement.
Sure.
Authorities.
Any confirmations for 2012? I mean, going back to Denver or Detroit?
We have, we obviously got LA coming up right now in February 11th and 12th. We've got Denver, April 21st and 22nd, just right on the heels of their big 420 parties that they do out there. And then June for San Francisco. And beyond that, I'm not quite sure, but we're definitely looking to expand the event and bring it to new places and go back to the same places we've been and just keep it going.
Yeah, make sure everybody check out medcancup.com for the information. And we'll be streaming live from the event at live.normal.org February 11th and 12th. So if you can't make the trip, you can at least enjoy it vicariously through the internet. Danny Danko will be there, Nico Escondido. Who else from the High Times crew coming out?
Oh, we've got pretty much everybody. Bobby Black's coming out. Our West Coast crew is going to be there. Nico, you mentioned pretty much everybody from the office will be there in one capacity or another. We're just excited. Los Angeles, here we come.
Yeah, and I'm excited. I've been hearing some rumors or rumor mill stuff of Los Angeles residents, certain celebrity residents who might be attending as well. So we'll keep everybody posted once we know more about that. Have you heard any interesting rumors?
I've heard a few rumors here and there. It's Grammy weekend, too, in LA, so you can expect some of the artists that are going to be in town for that would undoubtedly end up stopping by and checking out the expo or the concert. You know, the sky's the limit. A lot of the actors who we've featured in the magazine on the cover, they're all out there. They live out there. A lot of the musicians that we've had will be there for that weekend. So we're excited.
Yeah.
We're, you know, like I said, Wiz is going to be accepting that award. We're going to have our several different Miss High Timeses, and yeah, it's going to be really fun.
You know, as fast as this is expanding, you know, heading into 2012 here, I mean, can you just, isn't it amazing we're having cannabis cups here in America? And it seems like, like you said, the sky's the limit. We're headed into an election year with 2012. How do you see the future panning out for marijuana legalization? Are we almost there, do you feel?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do. I think we're in the final stages, but we need to push harder, and we need to put the pressure on, you know, the second Obama administration or whoever it may be, to really send a clear message what the policy is, stick to the promises that were made prior to the election and all the other statements. I think we can get there. I think in the next few years we're going to see – we've got all these legalization initiatives. We only need a few to pass before the federal government has to step up and acknowledge that – the war on marijuana is a complete failure and needs to end, just like the alcohol prohibition ended in, you know, 37.
Absolutely. Danny, as far as cultivation goes, of course, this is Cultivator's Corner. I did want to leave people with at least one or two tips or tricks they should know. And here we are in the winter months, not much going on as far as outdoor planning, but any tips or tricks people could benefit from here in the winter?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely don't want to have really cold air being brought in during your night cycle when your lights are off, because you can really shock the plants if it's below freezing. So definitely space heaters on timer to come on at during the nighttime hours is good if you're growing indoors and you have that problem with cold weather. Outdoors is not out of the question. Right now, in order to get those monster plants that people have, you know, in September outdoors, they start those plants early. And if they're from seed, they're started now in flats under fluorescent lights indoors until they are big enough to put out. And that's the only way to get those big monster plants. If people have plant limits, they should be considering, you know, January, February is not too early to start plants that you eventually will end up putting outside in April or May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're seeing, watching some of the Jorge Cervantes videos here in our afternoon video blocks, and seeing him and the 10-pound outdoor plants that he was showing off. Yeah, those got to start early, don't they?
Yeah, they have to start early. They have to be fed properly and watered properly, and they need full sunshine to get to that type of level. But it's not impossible, and it doesn't only have to happen in Northern Cali either.
Yeah, folks, if you're looking for tips on how to grow, how to breed, how to cultivate cannabis, check out the Normal Network in the afternoons. We have videos from Jorge Cervantes TV, who's a longtime friend and contributor to High Times. We've got videos from Weed Nerd, a.k.a. Subcool, that we're showing on Tuesday nights. And, of course, every Wednesday night here on the Normal Network, Free Weed with Danny Danko, High Times Presents. You can catch it at hightimes.com/freeweed. Or join us here every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Danny Danko is the Senior Cultivation Editor for High Times Magazine and joins us on the fourth Friday of every month for this Cultivator's Corner. Danny, I'll see you in a couple weeks, and thanks again for everything you guys are doing.
Hey, looking forward to it, Russ. Thank you, too.
All right, that's Danny Danko, recorded earlier today from his High Times office there in New York. When we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about some reefer madness going on in Kansas. The good folks there are trying to pass a very modest compassionate use act there for medical marijuana. And the legislators out there, well, let's just say they got the reefer madness. We'll help cure them right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, how's it going? My name's Will. I don't work at a used record store. I don't own an iguana, although I'm sure they make great pets. I don't have dreadlocks or play the acoustic guitar. I can remember quite well, thank you, and no, I don't constantly have the munchies. When 4:20 comes around, I've still got 40 minutes of work left. I've never hit a girl on a bike with my car or shot my friend with a shotgun. I've never had to apologize for letting a girl I was watching drown in a pool while I was getting high because, duh, I wouldn't be getting high if I was around children. I'm a regular guy who works regular jobs, just like the majority of all Americans who use marijuana occasionally and responsibly. My name is Will, and I'm normal.
Yo, what's good? This is Be Real of Cypress Hill chilling on Normal Show Live. Legalize it.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Tonight, I appeared on Jeopardy, and, well, how do I say this? I lost. Not only did I lose, I lost to this guy. My basketball coach, you don't kick me off the team. That's right. I lost to Cheech Marin. Cheech of Cheech and Chong fame, pot-smoking star of blunt-burning films like Up in Smoke, Next Smoke, and Still Smoking. He not only beat me, he crushed me. When I heard I was up against Cheech Marin, I admit, I thought his reflexes would be slow, not to mention his synapses, perhaps, but I was so very, very wrong.
This guy, as Conan the Barbarian, on What's Best in Life, to crush your enemies and to hear the lamentation of their women. Cheech.
Who is Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes. Cheech again.
Who is Al Pacino?
Right. Cheech.
What is Pillow Talk?
Right. Cheech.
What is Never Never Land?
Yes. Cheech.
What is Camelot?
Yes. Cheech.
What is a baster?
Yes. You're the winner today. Your charity will get $50,000 and Aisha and Anderson's charity, $25,000 each.
So I admit it, I lost to Cheech Marin. I tied for second with comedian Aisha Taylor, who is also a great player. And joining us now is the two-time Jeopardy champion, the man who crushed me, Cheech Marin. Cheech, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much, Anderson.
Have people just been congratulating you? Do they pour out into the streets to congratulate you? Because people have been mocking me mercilessly since this thing was aired tonight.
It's tough when you can't hit a big league curveball, man. That's the separation point. But I don't listen to her because my head is like a sieve.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Okay, for this next story, we're going to go to America's heartland because Reefer Madness is alive and well in Kansas. I picked this story up off of the Weed blog, and you can read it for yourself. They've got a link there at stash.normal.org. This is a story out of Topeka, Kansas, where the legislature held a hearing to discuss medical marijuana. Now, as these hearings tend to go, supporters outnumbered opponents by a long shot. And really, I've been to a lot of these hearings in Oregon. We did one down in Ontario. I've been to them in a lot of places. And it always turns out that way. I mean, very rarely do you see a lot of citizens going to your typical legislative hearings unless it's a really contentious issue. And in this case, we have almost all of them coming out in support, right? And usually in a contentious issue, it's a little of both sides. But anyway. The dramatic testimony was given at this legislative hearing by a son whose mother died from the FDA-approved prescription arthritis drug Humira. Esau Freeman of Wichita read a two-page list of Humira's known side effects and asked, "I'm here to ask you if we can do better. If patients in Kansas deserve the legal right to access safe and more natural medicine, I'm asking you as responsible and caring legislators of this great state of Kansas to investigate the evidence of medical marijuana with an unbiased and open mind," end quote. By the way, some of those Humira side effects, Abbott Laboratories are the ones that bring this one up. Humira, some of the side effects of serious increased risk of serious infections leading to hospitalization or death, including tuberculosis, bacterial sepsis, invasive fungal infections such as histoplasmosis, and infections due to other opportunistic pathogens. Malignancy, lymphoma, and other malignancies, some fatal, have been reported in children and adolescent patients treated with TNF blockers, of which Humira is a member, and many other warnings and problems here, but mostly the infections, lupus-like syndrome, heart failure, worsening or new onset may occur. This is the Humira drug that killed Esau Freeman's mother, and it was FDA approved, mind you. Now, according to the Topeka Capital Journal, Eric Voth, the chairman of the Institute on Global Drug Policy, claimed that the state of Oregon has mostly stopped pre-employment drug screenings after medical marijuana passed in 1998 because, quote, they had no usable workforce, end quote. Anybody here in Oregon in our audience looking for a job lately?
Right here.
Any quizzes they're giving?
Yeah.
That's what we thought. Okay. So, they had no usable workforce. Now, he doesn't give a citation or a study or anything, but apparently nobody's drug testing in Oregon anymore because otherwise you can't hire anybody. Mm-hmm. Also during testimony, Voth claimed that in California, more prescriptions, he means recommendations, are filled on Friday afternoons by those under 25 than at any other time by any other group. What? You pulled this statistic out of the department of your ass, didn't you? I mean, what the hell stat is this, and where is it coming from, and what's the point? I mean, perhaps that's when people can get time off work. Perhaps that's when they have the time to get there, and I don't believe it in the first place. Voth said also, quote, "It's a scam. It's not a prescription." Well, no, it's a recommendation. It's not a prescription. Anyway, an aptly named Representative Trimmer noted that few of the people testifying offered much in the way of scientific citation for cannabis's proven medicinal benefits. I note that Representative Trimmer doesn't have the same standard for Eric Voth's statements as far as scientific citations. Now, he says, this is Representative Trimmer, he says, quote, "Do we have any evidence on either side from sources like the National Cancer Institute, the American Medical Association, the New England Journal of Medicine, and the American Ophthalmological Association Journal?" Trimmer asked. "I would hope that we have something in the medical profession that tells us whether these things work or not. I like to base policy on sound research," end quote. Okay, then. National Cancer Institute. "The potential benefits of medicinal cannabis for people living with cancer include anti-emetic effects, appetite stimulation, pain relief, and improved sleep. Although few relevant surveys of practice patterns exist, it appears that physicians caring for cancer patients in the United States who recommend medicinal cannabis predominantly do so for symptom management." American Medical Association. "Results of short-term controlled trials indicate that smoked cannabis reduces neuropathic pain, improves appetite and caloric intake, especially in patients with reduced muscle mass, and may relieve spasticity and pain in patients with multiple sclerosis." New England Journal of Medicine. "Federal authorities should rescind their prohibition of the medical use of marijuana for seriously ill patients and allow physicians to decide which patients to treat. The government should change marijuana's status from that of a Schedule I drug to that of a Schedule II drug and regulate it accordingly." Now, on the other side, the American Academy of Ophthalmology, just to be fair and balanced, "No scientific evidence has been found that demonstrates increased benefits and or diminished risks of marijuana use to treat glaucoma compared with the wide variety of pharmaceutical agents now available." I think LV Musica might beg to differ. But okay, there you go. You asked for National Cancer Institute, American Medical Association, New England Journal of Medicine, and the American Academy of Ophthalmology. So, Representative Trimmer, I do hope you will base your policy on some sound research. If you'd like some more sound research, you can go to normal.org and look in our research section for Paul Armentano's Emerging Clinical Applications for Cannabis and Cannabinoids and find a compendium of all the peer-reviewed scientific studies showing the medical efficacy of cannabis. To continue from the Topeka Capital Journal here, the chairwoman, Representative Branda Landwehr, wasn't buying any of the testimony from patients who told how cannabis helped them medically. Quote, I think that if there was a huge benefit for those folks, the FDA would have already stepped in. End quote. Okay, so once again, we have the opponents of medical cannabis use retreating to the tautological safety of the FDA excuse. One, cannabis is not a medicine because it's not FDA approved. Two, the FDA cannot study cannabis because it's in Schedule 1. Three, cannabis is in Schedule 1 because it is not a medicine. Cannabis is not a medicine because it is not FDA approved. The FDA can't study cannabis because it's in Schedule 1. Cannabis is in Schedule 1 because it's not a medicine. Cannabis is not a medicine because it's not FDA approved. The FDA cannot study cannabis because it's not in Schedule 1. Cannabis is in Schedule 1 because it's not a medicine. Repeat ad infinitum. We've heard it before. The fact is the FDA can never approve cannabis as a medicine because that would be like asking you to define exactly what a dog looks like. The FDA is set up to evaluate the beneficial and harmful effects of a certain amount of an exact molecule given consistently to test subjects. The FDA can and has evaluated THC molecules in synthetic form and approved their medical benefits. But evaluating whole plant cannabis involves so many variables. Just as defining a dog runs the gamut from Chihuahua and Pug to St. Bernard and Greyhound. Sure, they all have four legs, tails, two eyes, etc., but some are short, tall, thick, thin, long snouts, flat faces, fast, slow, friendly, aggressive, and so on. A dog that would serve well for an elderly woman in a city apartment might not work for a middle-aged man who likes hunting ducks. The same applies to cannabis. Even different buds picked from the same plant can have variants in their constituent cannabinoids. Varieties that work great for aiding my creativity might not be beneficial for treating my co-host's chronic pain. One grower may cultivate a variety I like with better results. Some days, I may want a different variety that eases my stress. The main point? FDA approval of cannabis is unnecessary. The whole point of the FDA was to protect us from patent medicine manufacturers the early 20th century that were selling us snake oil. Cannabis has 5,000 years of history of safe, effective use in humans. It's not a new chemical substance. It's a plant as old as history. Retreating to the FDA excuse or claiming there's not enough scientific research is the last resort of a frustrated prohibitionist. And that's all the time we've got for today. Thanks for joining us for Cannabis Carry, Ganja John, Brian the Red, Damon Alexander, and Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.